And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and Dr. June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Truth of Wellness Ministry program. I'm one of your hosts, Dr. T, and the purpose of this program, the reason why we started it, is to really bring that sense and the feel of overseas Christianity here to U.S., to Florida in this case. And why we do that is because of one reason is that it is different. Overseas Christianity is different. Obviously, if it was the same, we would not have anything to bring to you. And many times we will share with you how the things are happening over there. Other times we found a need to teach and present the teaching the way we would do it overseas. As I think that in this country, with all the freedom that we have, we started to perhaps misuse some of that freedom. We are not as eager. We don't know what it is that we believe as well. The people that are willing to put their life on the line in the restricted access countries, they are putting their lives on the line for something they know. And sometimes I wonder if you're in the same shoes, or if Christianity has just become another religion for us here, a tradition, a way of doing things, a status quo, or however you want to call it. And so this is why we have brought a number of teachings, and in fact, we will have Pastor Howard back talking to us in the next couple of weeks about the Holy Spirit gifts. And, you know, that is something that we also need and use overseas a lot. And here in U.S., very often either it's not used at all, or I have seen it also misused, which both are fairly bad. I'm not really sure which one is worse. So if you want to listen to any of the programs that we already have aired, they will be found on our website, which is www.truthtowellness.com. That is truth to wellness, all words, no numbers, no spaces.com. And then if you go down on the menu, down to radio programs, we are currently in season 3, and you're welcome to download any of the MP3s. And of course, you're welcome to listen to those programs that we have played on those days. You will see they're all listed with the day and who is speaking, and from there you can actually follow the scripture and continue to study further. I believe that the Word of God is given to us for a reason, and I also believe a number of things. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and that He and through Him everything is made that's made. And so when I read His Word, I don't take His Word lightly. And that's one of the big things that really bothers me when I come back to U.S. and even to Canada, but to a greater extent U.S. We seem to be comfortable with different things. We seem to be comfortable with maybe sidelining some aspects of His Word just because they don't seem to agree with us. Now, I don't know, you may be used to that, and, you know, everybody has their own measure, and I don't go into the politics, so, you know, please don't look at it from the political point of view. But when Jesus said, you know, if somebody asks you of a shirt, give him your coat also, Jesus said, you know, if somebody slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek too. Those are not displays of aggressive attitude. Essentially, what Jesus is saying is reduce the tension. If there is a conflict, reduce it. And yet, what I'm hearing from many of our Christians is how they are going to increase it. And whatever your view is on guns, for example, that is fine. And if you use them for target practice or, you know, that I understand, or hunting or, you know. However, if you live in fear, and you trust your gun to provide you safety instead of our Lord, and if you are using and relying on that tool, on that mechanism, instead of relying on Jesus, that's a different story. Bible tells us very clearly who we are to rely on. Now, my story here today is not about guns. It is just one of the examples where we tend to read the Bible preferentially. We like some verses, and maybe we don't like others. And today I like to just share a little bit from Philippians. But before I do that, I want to share with you something that brought this scripture to me. I was sitting with some dear ones, and we were talking about the beginning of the world as it is described in the Bible. And the 7 days, essentially. And as you know, the word in Jewish language is Yom, and it means a day. It means sunrise to sunset. It means sunrise to sunrise. But it also means era. It also means, like in my grandmother's day, it means a known period of time or unknown period of time. It means all of those things. And this may be a little bit harder for American people to understand, because English is a much more specific language with its words. But another language that I speak is very similar like that. And you can actually use the same word, and it applies to all those contexts. And in any case, I was speaking with these people, and we were discussing whether the day there meant a season, a period of time, or whether it is a day. Now, we are scripturally backed up to look at it, because the Bible says, to the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So he's telling us that, you know, sometimes there are situations where the word day may not refer to 24 hours. We see this in the book of Daniel also. Now, I don't want to argue either one of the sides here, but what caught my eye is that when we were arguing about different interpretations, it became an argument. We started discussing friendly and slowly and nicely, because sometimes different interpretations may be useful if you're talking to people who are atheists, as I used to be. And certain interpretations fall in line more easily with the scientific knowledge as they have it right now. Now, I'm very familiar with scientific side too, and, you know, there are many problems in the science. But I strongly believe this one thing. I believe that the Word of God, as it is written in its original language, is pure, is correct, and that every word is where it's supposed to be. In fact, there is scientific evidence for that, believe it or not. But I have to tell you that I do not believe that my or your interpretation of the word of God is anywhere close to holy. It's just our interpretation. Sorry, guys. And so when we were discussing this, the other people said, well, you know, I believe in the word of God. And I thought to myself, well, I do too, but I don't believe in your interpretation. But what it caught my attention is, what caused that? What caused that kind of reaction? Why would somebody just all of a sudden jump into this defense corner? In you know, if you ever watched a game of boxing, you know, you have the four corners, and all of a sudden when somebody jumps in there, once, is that really what we need to do as Christians? And that got me thinking about the scripture, where Paul said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, let's take a look at this. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Let's just start here. First of all, who is Paul talking to? He's talking to Christians. He's talking to people who know God. Some of these people have sold everything they have. Others have been persecuted. This is all but later in time, probably about 60 AD or something in that area. And he said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Why? Why is he talking about this? Because we as Christians can easily fall into a situation where we have our own selfish ambition. I need to prove that I'm right. I just need to prove that I am correct. Where do you think that comes from? You think that comes from humility? I don't think so. And so he's warning us, but look at the next word here. But in lowliness of mind. That means that we as Christians can talk from haughtiness of mind, being proud, you know, I'm better than they. But we can also talk in the lowliness of mind. If this was not an option, then he wouldn't say to us, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Why did he say this? You have to understand that it is possible for us to esteem each other better than ourselves, but it's really fake. It's really because we are supposed to. And I see this in so many churches. You know, people walk around and they walk in a humble way. I have seen it, you know, sometimes when they sing really slow and they're trying to be holy. I didn't know you can be holy singing. I didn't know. I mean, I thought that this is just an expression to God of my love. And, you know, this is very, very interesting because I come from different cultures. Cultures, because I have multiple ancestries in my background. And I got to tell you, there are cultures that consider fa songs to be spiritual, or cultures that consider slow songs to be spiritual. Don't you think some of this is cultural? But hear what Paul says, but in lowliness of mind, in the humility of your mind. What kind of mind is that? That's a mind that doesn't think highly of itself. It's a mind that's humble. It's a mind that knows that God loves us. It's a mind that knows what we can do, but not in pride, rather in lowliness. And with this attitude, he wants us to esteem each other better than ourselves. And then he says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest. As you know, our society is fairly materialistic. So why does it say, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others? Because very often, the interests of others may conflict with our own interests. And that means that I may have to sacrifice something to help a brother. I may have sacrificed something to help a sister. And you know what? Let's go back to that loneliness of mind. That's a requirement. Now, this is not here in just any accidental order. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition and conceit. Okay, that's the first thing. Let's stop doing that. Then he says, in lowliness of mind, let's esteem each other better than himself. And when you're doing that, then you can look out after the interests of others, not only of yourself. You see the order that exists here? It's not accidental. It is also in original languages like that. It is not accidental. He actually wants us to adopt it. And you cannot esteem others better than yourself or higher than yourself if you don't have loneliness in mind. And if you're involved in selfish ambition and conceit, you're nowhere even close to it. That's what the Bible is telling us. My hope, and I'll continue with the scripture in just a little bit, but my hope is, as you listen to this, that you understand the value, the need for the Word of God to be active participant in our hearts. And if you understand that, and if you accept that, then what you are in effect doing is you're allowing the Lord to reign in you. And that gives me to another point. I'd like to play that song for you. Lord, reign in me. Please sing this song if you can, and allow His Spirit to talk to you and to reign in you. I think that for a long time we have been reigning, we have been making decisions, and yes, mistakes, but I think that we need to every day let the Lord reign in me and in you. I think that this is very important, that we let Him reign in our hearts.
Sunset sky, but my one request, Lord, my only aim is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams, in my darkest hours. You are the Lord of all I am. So you reign in me again.
interesting how she says, won't you reign in me? But I think that before we can claim that we are letting him reign in us, we have to accept that his word and his word alone has the authority and power. So let's continue in looking at Philippians 2. We are now down at the end of verse 4. So let's start with verse 5 that says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be of equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Now, when it talks about let this mind be in you, which mind are they talking about? It's the same mind. You see, remember in verse 3 it says, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. He's still talking about the same mindset. He's still talking about the very same way of looking at things. And then it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So now he tells us that Jesus also had this lowliness of mind. As I look at that, I recognize that Jesus was humble, but Jesus was not a pushover. And I think that is a good example and a measure to us. When Paul talks about lowliness of mind, what he actually means. This does not mean that you're a pushover. This does not mean you say yes to everything. But it rather means that just like Jesus, if people would be aggressive towards him, you know, when people were accusing him, he didn't defend himself. He didn't say a word. To the point that Pilate marveled. He was expecting that Jesus would argue, that he would say, no, this is what the word of God says. He didn't say a word. When it came to defending him, he didn't say a word. But when it came to defending his disciples, or when it came to defending the poor, or those who are cast out, then Jesus, he defended them, and he defended them quite a bit. We are to have the same lowliness of mind. What this means is that we are to be of same nature, same mindset. So if you look at our Christians today, do you see this lowliness of mind? Do we defend the poor and the homeless? Do we defend the strangers amongst us? Do we defend those who are vulnerable? Do we try to stop those who are trying to misuse, who are trying to abuse other people like the Pharisees did at the time? Jesus tried to stop them, and he did, in fact, every time he was around. That's why they hated him. That's why they had him crucified, not knowing that, in fact, that was why Jesus came. So it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So essentially, who was equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. It shows us how humbled he allowed himself to be just to become a man. Remember, he is God. And sometimes we, I think, treat God just like another person out there. Well, Bible tells you here very easily and very descriptively just how much of humility it was for Jesus to even show up as a man, being a God. And being found in appearance as a man, goes on to say in verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And you see that if Jesus was not humble, if Jesus was not in this obedience to the cross and to his Father, he wouldn't have been able to finish what he came to do. I think that we have to recognize that if we want to walk in his steps, we also have to have this humility of mind, the lowliness of mind, and we have to be humble so that we can succeed with what he assigned us to do. Too many times people judge, and they judge, humanly speaking, well, he shouldn't be doing that and he shouldn't be doing this. But the fact is, we don't know. We don't know what people are fighting with. You know, you may say, well, he shouldn't steal. And you know, maybe my weakness is not stealing, but maybe my weakness is being jealous, or my weakness is being hypocritical or lying. Maybe my weakness is not stealing, but maybe I like to eye all those nice ladies and girls walking by. Do you really think that one weakness is better than another? So if you judge somebody who is stealing, but you are doing this other thing, don't you think that that's a problem? See, this is what we have to understand, that God doesn't want us fucking like that, as hypocrites. And my own students, who are non-believers at the university, tell me, they say, they see this in Christians, not only in Christians, in pastors. So I think we have to come back to the word And we see in this word that it is with lowliness of mind. And when Jesus humbled himself, just by the fact that he became a man, he was able to be obedient. He was able to be obedient to the point of death. You see, when we become obedient to the point of death, then the devil has nothing against us. He cannot make us afraid if we are so humble that we leave everything with God. He says, what will happen tomorrow? You say, God knows. He says, what will happen with your children? You say, God, I'm praying for them. God is protecting them. Well, what will happen to you? God knows. He's looking after me. I believe in God being my Father. You see, when we are humbled, there is nothing that the devil can do. I remember, and I shared this already a couple of times, when I was in China and we were going around and we were driving around, there are all these cameras and all these control systems that they have, and we were going to some churches. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly, and he said, if you have no fear, the devil has nothing in you. The devil has nothing to control you by. If you take a look around, you will see that we walk in fear all the time. We may say we are Christians, but we walk in fear, and it's kind of natural. But as we lean on the Word of God, as we focus on the Word of God, I think we will find more and more that that fear become courage and source of strength, not fear. And I think this is very important that we understand that, God does not walk us to walk us to walk in fear, but in power, love, and sound mind. That's what God wants us to do. And I think that we have to focus on that and allow His Spirit to comfort us. But we have to have a low mind, a lowly mind. Not a mind that knows everything. Not a mind that thinks it's able to do everything. Look, guys, I got the doctorate. I got other things. I'm a pilot. I could boast of it a lot of things. What is it all use? It's only knowledge. If I got sick tomorrow, or if I lost my memory, had amnesia, what is it worth? So I think that we have to go back to the Word of God and understand that we have to have lowliness of mind in our life, in our walk, wherever we are, so that God can use us. Yes, that He can use us even to the point of death. God bless you all.
Yeah.
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.